Everything while ago, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You breathing out there? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Yep.
Has the Lord ever brought somebody
today? Yes. That's right.
So don't disregard that when somebody comes before you.
Right. Amen.
Comes into your mind. Just go ahead and pray for them.
That's right. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into this word today. I'm going to share something that I shared with you a bunch of years ago. A lot of you will probably remember it, and some of you won't remember it, whatever. But I had some of the brothers that's just recently been coming to church say to me that they asked me about the seventh chapter of Revelations, you know. And I'm going to tell you, back years ago, before I had ever gotten into the book of Revelations, I never had read in the book of Revelations. I was a fairly young Christian. And I was praying, and I felt like the Lord took me to the seventh chapter of Revelations. Not the beginning, but the seventh chapter, you know. And when I went to that, he began to deal with me about the 144,000. And, you know, I've read in the Old Testament and stuff, and I knew about each one of their births in the Old Testament, you know, the names of the 144,000. And what the Lord began to deal with me about is that name is synonymous with nature. And I've told you all that many times over the years. And we're going to take a look at this book, at this little bit of this chapter, and we're going to take a look at this 144,000. And I'm going to share with you what God shared with me about it. And, you know, how many people know that a lot of the traditions of man are not the traditions of God? And, you know, a lot of times we've been told a lot of things over the years about certain scriptures and stuff. And I think what we're coming to a time and an age where what we need to do is begin to lay down everything we think we know and ask God what he wants us to know. Because I think a lot of times we'll find out that there's a lot more on a lot of these scriptures than we ever imagined. And, you know, I was talking to Jim earlier this week, and he was talking to me, and he said, well, Oscar, I'd like for you sometime to maybe teach on the difference between the written word and the word of God. And I said, well, sometime if the Lord deals with me about it, I will. And, you know, a lot of times that's the way God deals with me. Someone will say something, and I'm not going to get into that today, but I'm just giving you an example of how God deals with me sometimes. I've had people say to me a certain thing, and then, man, God just takes off with it, you know. But, you know, what I've noticed as I was looking in the seventh chapter of Revelations, the first thing that God began to deal with me about was that he's a God of order. And hi, Damon. It's good to see you, buddy. I didn't say hi to you a while ago. I didn't see you. And who's them pretty young ladies you got with you there? Nice to meet you guys. God bless you. But anyway, what God began to deal with me about was that he's a God of order. And when I began to look at this 144,000 in the book of Revelations, I began to see, because I had read in the Old Testament numerous times, I began to see that they were not in the order of their birth in the seventh chapter of Revelations. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I know you're a God of order, so you've changed the order. And when he changes the order, guess what? There's a reason he changes the order. And he had been dealing with me a lot back years ago, and that's he began to open this stuff up to me years ago. He had been dealing with me years ago a lot about name is synonymous with nature. And, you know, I began to see how that everyone in Scripture that is named, you know, their nature and what they did in the Scriptures normally fit the meaning of their name, the true meaning of their name. You know, David's name meant beloved. And David loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. Even though he sinned and even though he did some bad stuff, Scripture still says he was a man after God's own heart. And, you know, David was smart enough to not make excuses when he fell short. He just basically owned up to it and said, I'm sorry, Lord, don't cast me away, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you know what? God loves that. And he loved that in David. And David had that kind of a personality. But anyway, what I begin to see there, and I'm going to read you the Old Testament order of how they were of their birth first. And in the Old Testament, the 144,000, and I'll read down through that in a minute. Well, let me read down through there a little bit anyway, and I'll stop before I get to the 144,000. And it says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, and saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Okay. Now, it's going to talk about the 144,000. It's going to tell you their names. And first of all, I'm going to tell you that in the Old Testament, I'm going to read you the names in the Old Testament, the order that they were given. The first one was Reuben. He was the firstborn son to Jacob, to Israel, in the Old Testament. Then there was Simeon. Then there was Levi. Then there was Judah. Then there was Dan. And then there was Naphtali. And then there was Gad. And then there was Asher. And then there was Issachar. Then there was Zebulun. Then there was Joseph. And one of Joseph's sons was mentioned there. It was Benjamin. Okay. Now, what I noticed when I got up into this 144,000, when it began to talk about their names, I noticed that it wasn't in the order of their birth that God gave them up here. And like I told you, I feel like I know God's a God of order, and he was dealing with me. When I put something in a different order, I'm doing it for a reason. Okay? And when I got up here and got to this 144,000, and it said, he said, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And it says, I heard the number of them that were sealed, and them that were sealed, 144,000, all of the tribes of the children of Israel. Okay? And, you know, the first one mentioned here in Revelations is, and of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Now, I'm going to tell you, numbers have a significance in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament too. And the number 12,000, 12 is the number for governmental perfection, and 1,000 is the number for divine completeness, the glory of God. So that's when you see 1,000 mentioned in Scripture, that's what it's usually referring to. And the first tribe mentioned was Judah. And Judah's name means praise. And what were we just doing up here today? We were praising the Lord. We know he inhabits the praises of his saints. And we know that praise is essential. You know, in the Old Testament, whenever they were going out to battle, a lot of times they didn't send out the biggest warriors and the guys with the biggest spears and everything else. They sent the praisers out first. And I'm going to tell you what, God is telling us here that we have to be sealed. And I'm going to tell you, he's not just talking about literal Israel here. I believe he's talking about our relationship. Scripture tells us they're not all Israel which are Israel, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. And I want you to know that I believe what he's saying here in this book of Revelations when he said the first one was Judah and we were to be sealed in Judah. We have to get to the point to where we praise him in all situations and all circumstances because praise is the fruit of our lips. And if we want to be a fruitful people, we have to praise God in all situations and in all circumstances. And that was the first one mentioned there, okay? Then the second one mentioned was Reuben. And it says, and of the tribe of Reuben there were sealed 12,000. Reuben means, see ye the Son. We have to come to the place where we see the Son of God and are sealed in that in every situation and every circumstances. You know, we used to sing a song, let me see the hand of God in everything, for I know that not but pleasure it will bring. You know, and once we begin to acknowledge God in every situation, His power begins to flow. His release begins to flow. And I'm going to tell you what, you know, it's like when when they got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament, and they were supposed to bow down to the idol, and they wouldn't bow down. And they said, here was their reply, whether or not God will deliver us, we don't know. You know, and we don't always know in a situation whether God's going to deliver us right then or not. But it said, one thing we do know, we'll not bow down and worship that idol. And they threw him in that fiery furnace, and the people who threw him in, the fire was so hot that it burned them up, the guards throwing them in there. And Nebuchadnezzar walked over by the furnace and looked in there, and they had it heated 7 times hotter. And I'm going to tell you what, 7 is the number for the completeness and spiritual perfection. And I'm going to tell you what, when you find yourself caught, cast into the midst of fire a lot of times and the fire in your life, it's not sent there to destroy you. It's sent there to set you free if you'll trust God in the middle of it. And because they trusted God, Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he saw 4 men walking about in there, not 3 anymore, 4. And the 4th was like unto the Son of God. And all that the fire did was burn the bonds that were binding them off. And they come up out of that furnace and there wasn't even the smell of smoke on them. And I got news for you folks. When you're sealed in when you're sealed in Reuben and you begin to see God in all situations, all circumstances, I don't care, and quit saying it's good or it's bad. We were talking about that back in Sunday school back there. You know, we have a tendency that we judge with the seeing of our natural eye or our natural emotions. This is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. And you know, that was the knowledge that they ate of in the Garden of Eden. And that was the tree that they weren't supposed to partake of. And if we just start praising God in all situations and all circumstances and start seeing God in all situations and say, God, I know you're with me. You're not out there somewhere. You're like the brother said, he's right inside of you. Know you not that you're the temple of God? Know you not that Christ in you is the hope of glory? Okay? So then the next one after that, we have to be sealed and seeing the Son of God in all situations, okay? And the next one after that was the tribe of Gad. Now, let me get over here and tell you what Gad means. Gad means a troop, and it means fortunate or it means fortunate or a troop. You know, you and God make a majority. You know, any time that you acknowledge God in a situation, not only does that become a troop, but that becomes a troop in the heavenly realms. That becomes you and the mighty heavenly host. You know, Jesus, when they took him to crucify, he said, if I had asked my Father, he'd give me legions. You know, but he knew that that's why he was sent here, to become a sacrifice for our sins. And we have to begin to believe that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We have to begin to believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us within. Because he's not a God that's afar off. He's right inside of us, you know. But we have to come to realize that. And then, we have to see the Son and see him as a troop or a company. You know, you're part of the body of Christ. And you know, just like Sam was saying back there about he appreciated our prayers that we've been praying for him. I'm going to tell you what, when you start praying for part of the body of Christ, God starts moving. And he moves, and we need to believe that he's going to move. We need to trust that he's going to move and that his will be done in that situation. You know, it's always seems to be a bad situation if somebody has to lose a kidney, you know. But let me tell you what, had they not found that, what would be the situation? Oh, my goodness. Thank God it was found. Thank God it was taken care of. We're going to believe that God's going to keep his hand on you. You know, the name Samuel or Sam means heard from God. Heard from God. And I'm going to tell you, Sam, you begin to claim every day, I've heard from you, God. I've heard from you. You are my health. You are my peace. You are my wholeness. Claim that every day because he is your very health. He is your very life. Claim that every day. The next one that's mentioned there is as 12,000 of the tribe of Asher, or tribe of Asher. Now the name Asher means happy. Now, let me ask you a question. You know the scripture says, happy is the man whose God is the Lord. Yes. You know that? You can try to find happiness and everything else out there in the world, and you'll be happy for a little short span of time. You can get that brand new shiny car, and you can think, boy, this thing is beautiful. I love this. Until you pull it in the Kroger's parking lot, and you come back out, and somebody had slammed their door into the side and put a big chip in the side of it. And then the next time you go out, somebody's bumped into the back of it and put a dent in the back of it, you know. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. The only true happiness you're ever going to find is in God. In God. You have to be sealed in his happiness. You know, I remember that song, I think it was Pharrell that sung it, where he pounded on his chest and don't worry, be happy. And you know what? We need to take that as an anthem in our life. Don't worry, be happy. I don't care what's happening out there in the world. If you trust in the Lord and you get sealed in his happiness, then I'll tell you what, he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows, Scripture says. And you know, God gave me a poem about that one time, and he said, I've placed my gladness, because he was anointed with it first, I've placed my gladness within your heart. I've placed my gladness to give you a new start, to give you a greater knowledge of me, to fill you with my spirit and to set you free. When trials would come on every side, my joy will remain and my gladness will abide. And if you will but praise me, then my joy will reign. And that's exactly what he's going to do. He wants to reign that joy in your heart. He is your joy. The joy of the Lord is what? Scripture says, my strength. He's your very strength. Don't let yourself get down in the mully grubs and moan and groan and complain. Praise him in all situations. Let that happiness rise up in your heart. Praise God. And you need to be sealed in that. And when you become sealed in that, I tell you, he's going to do a mighty thing then. And it says, and then the next one after that is Nephalti, okay? And Nephalti means my wrestling. My wrestling. You know, Scripture says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, Jacob. Jacob, when he left Laban's house, he crossed over the river of Jabbok and met with God there. And Jabbok means coming to an end. He crossed over a place of coming to an end. And when he came to an end, he had an encounter with God Almighty. And he wrestled with God. And you know, I've told a few people over the years that didn't like what God was doing in a certain situation, don't wrestle with God. You won't win. You won't win the wrestling match. And, you know, and it said in there that the angel or whatever grabbed him, threw his hip out of joint, it says. But that's not really a very good translation of the words there. It really means that he grabbed him by the loins. Grabbed him by the loins. And I will tell you this, in the natural, you grab a man by his loins and you can control him. He'll do anything you want him to do at that point, because he'll go down on the ground and he'll give up. That's good for you women to know. If somebody's mistreating you, give them a little kick there or something and they'll quit doing that. But I just want you to know that's what that word really means. He grabbed him by the loins. And he said, I won't let you go, talking to God. I won't let you go, God, until you bless me. And what did he say? He said, what's your name? What's your name? We're talking about names here. And he said, it's Jacob. Jacob means heel catcher, supplanter, deceiver, and all those kind of things. That's the nature of the Adam nature. And he said to him, he said, I'll not bless that. He said, but from henceforth, your name will be Israel. Now, he can bless Israel, because you know what the name Israel really means? He shall rule as God. And when we get sealed in a situation where we know that he rules as God in all situations, all circumstances, then the wrestling stops. Praise God. Okay, the next one mentioned down there is Manasseh. 12,000 of the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh means causing to forget. Causing to forget. You say, well, Oscar, what's that got to do with the Scriptures? What does the Scripture say? Forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And until we get sealed in that becomes our total desire to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. What is the high calling in Christ Jesus? Remember what he said to Abraham? He told Abraham, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Abram meant high father. Abraham meant the father of a multitude. And when he changed his name, he had an encounter with God Almighty, or El Shaddai in Hebrew. And what did God say to him? He said to him, I am thy exceeding great reward. He's the great reward. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is really that important. He's the great reward. We have to forget those things which are behind. Forget what happened yesterday. You made a mistake yesterday. Forget it. Ask God to forgive you. Get up and move on. You know, you go out here today and you pull out on the street out there, and the guy almost runs into the back of you because he's flying around that corner up there, which I've had that happen a lot of times. and you mumble a not so bless you brother because you get all excited, forget about that. Ask God to forgive you and then say, bless that person that ran upon me like that. And when you do that, you know, you get sealed in that area to where you forget the past and move forward into the present. Praise God. The next one after that is Simon. And Simon means hearing. We have to get sealed in hearing. Faith comes by what? And hearing by what? The Word of God. I just told you that the brother asked me, he said, well, Brother Oscar, why don't you teach on that sometime? I will sometime, as the Lord gives me what to say. But we have to come to the place where we hear Him. You know, I used to pray a lot about this. Lord, give me ears to hear what Your Spirit would say to me today. I've told people, you know, about you know, there's a story in the New Testament about the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 that were foolish didn't have no oil in their lamp. And when the master came, it was too late. They didn't have no oil in their lamp. Let me tell you what those virgins are a type of. They're a type of seeing, hearing, feeling, the 5 natural senses. You have 5 spiritual senses. You know, Scripture tells us that we're not to judge after the seeing of the eye, or after the hearing of the ear, but we're to judge righteous judgment. The only way you can judge righteous judgment, Jesus would say, I only do that which I hear my Father tell me to do, or which I see my Father do. He would say it in such a way that He brought those 5 senses in there, you know. And you have 5 natural, and you have 5 spiritual. The 5 spiritual have the oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The 5 natural don't. That's why a lot of times, you know, I've told this story. I used to work with a guy, and he was real touchy. Anytime you looked in his direction, he thought you were talking about him. He always did. And you know, the Lord had me minister to him a lot, and I was trying to build him up in the Lord. And one day I was standing up in the front getting a coffee, and he was looking over, and there was about 2 or 3 other guys around when I was getting this coffee, and I was his supervisor. And when I'm getting this coffee, I could see he was, you know, trying to look and see, you know, what was going on up there, you know. And I said, I shouldn't have done this. I repent, God, forgive me. I said, watch this. And I said something to one of the guys, and then I turned around and I looked back at him. And I looked at him for a minute, and then I started talking to this guy again. 2 seconds later, he was right up there. You guys talking about me up here? What are you saying about me? What are you saying? I told him, I said, we're not saying anything about you. I said, you need to quit being so touchy. I said, it's just because somebody looks in your direction, that don't mean they're talking about you. You know, well, he was dealing with the 5 natural senses, see. He hadn't learned to use his 5 spiritual senses yet. But we have to get sealed in hearing from God. And we only want to hear His voice. My sheep know what? My voice. And another they won't do what? Follow. I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people out there, they get off into some wild stuff. They get off into cults and they get off into a lot of things. I'm going to tell you what, when I speak to you, if you don't hear the Father's voice coming out of me and it doesn't witness to you, you let it go. You throw it out the window. Just let it go. I'm not going to tell you to put it on the shelf. Brother Eddie used to tell you put it on the shelf. I'm not going to tell you that. Just let it go. Because if it's of God, He'll bring it back to you when it's time. When it's time that you actually have spiritual ears to hear what's being said. But we have to be sealed in hearing from God. And the next one after that is Levi. Levi. Okay, you know what the word Levi means? It means joined. Joined. Scripture says, he that is what to the Lord? Is one spirit. What did Jesus pray and what his high priestly prayer was? Father, I pray that they might be one, as you and I are one. You and me and them. And then the world will believe. He's waiting for the church to come up to a point where they get sealed in oneness. Where they get sealed in Levi. When they get sealed in Levi, then the world's going to start believing. Because they're going to see us not only saying the same thing, but walking it out too. Praise God. We've got to get sealed in that. The next one is Issachar. Issachar means he is hired. He is hired. Scripture says that we are laborers together with God. And it says the laborer is worthy of his what? Hire. Okay. We have to learn that we're co-laborers to get together with God. We have to learn that we're not less than. We're not more than. What he wants to do is pull us right up to his side and us be a part of the body of Christ. You know, my hand over here don't do what my head does. But I tell you what, I need that hand. I need it bad. Especially when Margaret wants me to move something at home or carry some ornaments upstairs or something. If I didn't have this hand, I couldn't do it. But I tell you what, we have to come to realize that we've been bought with a price. And that price is the most precious price that was ever paid. When he died on Calvary, he was that treasure that was hidden in earthen vessels. He is that treasure inside of us. He is that pearl of great price. He's all of those things. And I tell you what, we have to realize that we're hired. I mean, whether you like it or not, you're hired. You know, my mother used to tell me, and I've told you all this before, but because when I was a kid, I had epilepsy for like 3 years running. And God healed me of that. And I'd ride to work with her. You know, when I became a man, we worked in the same company. She worked at one end of the massive complex, and I worked at the other end, and I'd ride to work with her. She'd be talking about the Lord, and I wasn't a Christian at that point, and I couldn't hardly stand it. I mean, I'm sitting there, and I'm scooting over closer to the door, and just thinking, oh, please don't keep saying that stuff, you know. And she'd tell me, son, don't get too entangled with the world. God's going to require some things of you someday. And I hated when she'd say that to me. But she was right. She was right. That was a prophetic word to me, you know. And yet, you know, once I did give my life to the Lord, I had no closer friend spiritually than her. My goodness, we had some of the most wonderful talks, and she could tell me the things that the Lord had showed her, and I could tell her the things that the Lord showed me. And she knew a lot more than I did initially. But I can remember one time after coming home from church on a Sunday, we went up to her house, and we were sitting in her living room, just me and her, and we were talking about the Lord. And she was pulling things out of me, you know, spiritual things. And I realized our roles had changed. And I thought, maybe say it. But it also made me happy. Because I realized I was growing up. She was drawing from me instead of me drawing from her all the time. Praise God. Okay. The next one after that is Zebulun. Zebulun. Zebulun means habitation. What does Scripture say about us? We're built together for a what? Habitation of God through the Spirit. He inhabits the praises of His saints. We're lively stones built together for a habitation of God. We're all of those things. But we have to be sealed in that. We have to, you know, Years ago, I used to teach Christ in You a lot, and I do still do that. But the Lord started dealing with me about not only is He in us, but we have to start believing that we're in Him. And that's the full circle of that belief. Because not in Him we live and move and have our being. He is our very life. He's all of those things. We have to believe that. And when we get sealed in that, I tell you what, we're getting pretty close. The next one after that is Joseph. And Joseph means he is giving increase. God shall add to me another. And Joseph was the vine that went over the wall. You know, when he was prophesied to by his dad. He was the vine that went over the wall. And if you remember, Joseph brought his two sons to Jacob to bless them when they were getting ready to come out of Egypt. You know, and he brought his two sons there, and he was real careful to put the one son on his right, on the father's right hand, and the younger son on the father's left hand. Because if you got the right hand blessing from the father, you inherited everything. You inherited all. And in the natural, the oldest son was supposed to get that. But I tell you what, when he put Manasseh on the one side, he was the oldest, and he put Ephraim on the left hand. Joseph, it said, was his eyes were dim for old age. In other words, he was blind; he couldn't see. And when he brought the two young men up there and stuck them in front of Jacob. Anyway, when he stuck them in front of Jacob, the scripture says Israel beheld him, not Jacob, Israel. And when Israel beheld him, and Israel, remember, it means he shall rule as God. When Israel beheld him, Israel put his right hand on the youngest son and his left hand on the oldest son. And Joseph right away said, "Oh, wait a minute, Dad. Wait a minute. That's not right. You got it all wrong here." He said, "I know it. I know it, my son." He said, "This is what it is." He was beholding them with the eyes of the Spirit, the five spiritual senses. And praise God. I told you what Manasseh's name meant, causing to forget. And Ephraim's name meant double portion, dual fruited. Up in the New Testament, it says this in Romans, the 8th chapter. It says he was the firstborn, talking about Jesus, among many brethren. And if you remember what his high priestly prayer was, "Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to them." Hello, them. Hello, them. "Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was." What was that glory? That was the glory of being one with the Father. So one with the Father, he was the Father. A lot of people have a problem with that because some do though. But I tell you, you see it good, brother. You know what? You know what? That's why Jesus could tell them when they said to him, they said, "Lord, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient." He said, "Have I been with you so long and you never knew me? Don't you realize when you've seen me, you've seen the Father?" Praise God. You know what? Someday people are going to say that of you. When you grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, like it says in Ephesians, and where you speak only the truth in love, and that's all that comes out of you is the love of God, they're going to say, "Of a surety, God's in you." And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people have a problem with that, but I'm going to tell you what, there's no problem with that.
No way.
No way. You know, when somebody will say to me, once in a while, they'll say to me, well, you know, Oscar, and maybe some of you don't believe this, but it is true. They'll say to me, Oscar, your son's just like you. He has the same kind of nature you have. That's the best compliment you can get when somebody says, well, your son's like you. Well, he is a lot like me. He's calm. He's soft-spoken most of the time. I mean, I'm sure his kids don't think that at times. Joey might not too sometimes. But you know what? He's a great father. He's a good. I'm gonna say good man, but there ain't nobody's good except God. But he's a God man. I'll put it to you like that. He's a God man. He loves God. But I just want you to know that Joseph meant the vine that went over the wall. It meant he's giving increase. And what does the scripture say about the increase of his government? There shall be no end. It'll keep increasing and increasing and increasing. And the amount of God inside of you will increase and increase and increase until you come to the fullness of all that he is. And then you have to be sealed in that. And then the last one is Benjamin. Benjamin. Benjamin means son of the right hand. You know, in the Old Testament, there's the story of when Joseph was sold into slavery down in Egypt, and his brothers came down and they got some grain, and then when they came back to get some more, he told them you had to bring the other people in your family, and he found out about Benjamin, and Benjamin means son of the right hand, and they didn't want to bring Benjamin because they knew that their father would be so upset if anything happened to Benjamin, because he'd already lost Joseph, you know. And so when Benjamin comes down there, he sets them all down at the table to feed them. They don't know who he is. They don't know Joseph is basically the ruler in Egypt, because he really was. And and they're sitting around the table, and they start giving food out. And they get to Benjamin, and they give him five portions. Five times more food than all the others. Five times. And I'm going to tell you what that was a type of. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. They gave him the fivefold ministry, the blessing of God. And when they got ready to leave, Joseph had him stick his silver cup in Benjamin's sack, hide it. They didn't know it was in there. They got all their grain and they started heading home. And then Joseph tells the guards, go find them. They got my cup. And they go find them and they stop them. And the cup's in Benjamin's sack. Benjamin's sack. Well, he makes them bring them all back down there. And they're standing before him, and, you know, they know they're in trouble, big time trouble, because they've stole the emperor's cup, and they really didn't steal it. Joseph set this all up. And then what happens there is that he listens to them talk, and they're talking amongst themselves, and they start whispering to each other, do you think maybe God's requiring our brother's blood at our hands? Because they thought Joseph was dead. They didn't know he was still alive. And, you know, Joseph did something funny then. He turned around away from them, and he wept. He realized right then and there that his brothers had been tormented all of that time that he was gone, because they realized, they thought they'd killed him, had him killed. And then he turned around and made himself known to them. And I'm tell you what, they probably thought, oh my God, he's going to kill us all. You know, that's probably what they thought, you know. And you know what? He replied to them and he said, "You meant this for evil, selling me down here into Egypt." He said, "But God meant it for good." And you know, what God means anything for in your life is the only thing that's important. What man tries to make it, that don't matter. It's only what God has it do. You know, up in the New Testament, John and them's mother came to Jesus one time and they said, "Master, when you come into your kingdom, can one of our sons sit on your right hand and one on your left hand?" And his reply was, "That's not really mine to give. That's preordained by the Father." You know, and he wasn't dealing in the Father's realm right then. He was the Son. He was dealing as the Son. And he said to him, he said, "Can you drink of the cup that I drink of?" There's that cup popping up again. "And be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with." Remember what he was baptized with? The Holy Ghost and fire. And they said, "Yes, we can." He said, "Well, surely you shall." And I'm going to tell you what. That was the fulfillment of what you've seen back in the Old Testament with Joseph. That was the fulfillment of that up in the New Testament. Because you know what? We're to drink of the cup that he drank of. We're to be baptized with the baptism he was baptized with. You know, John the Baptist, when he baptized Jesus, he said, before he baptized him, he said, "There stands one among you whose shoe latch I'm not worthy to unloose." And he said, "I've indeed baptized you with water." He said, "But he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And his fan is in his hand." And you know what? The fire is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because it will burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in lives. And you know what? In your life, as God causes you to grow to maturity, he's made his ministers a flame of fire. And you're all ministers of God. And what he's going to have you do is burn up some of the wood, hay, and stubble in other people's lives, so that the precious will remain. And there's only one thing precious in any of us, and that's the amount of God that's there. That's the only thing that's precious. Well, praise the Lord. And I'll read this a little bit more, and then we'll close here. And it says, "After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed all with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about around the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen." Praise God. Now I'm going to tell you one more thing, and I'm going to tell you, that was where the 144,000 were mentioned there. In the 14th chapter of Revelations, they're mentioned again. And in the 14th chapter, guess what? They've been sealed. And then they're standing upon Mount Zion. And it says, and they have the Father's name written in their forehead. And I'm going to tell you what that literally means is they have the Father's nature, character, described in their face. When you see them, guess what? You see the Father too. Because they've been sealed in all of these areas. And God's sealing you in all these areas. And I know this is kind of a deep word. God gave me this word 30 years ago. 30 years ago, at least that, maybe 40 years ago, I don't know. But I tell you what, he hasn't changed a thing that he told me about it. It just increases more and more all the time. And I just want you to know, he's sealing you. He's going to seal you in all these areas. He's going to seal you in praise. That's the most important one. That's the starting point, praise. If you don't learn to praise Him in all situations and all circumstances, you can forget about the rest of these things, because they won't happen. But He wants to seal you in all these things. Now, I'm going to tell you what 144,000 means according to this $144,000 means the Spirit-guided life. That's what it means, has the meaning of the Spirit-guided life. And that's what we all should aspire to, because as many as are led by what? The Spirit of God. Who are they? They're the sons of God. And creation is groaning and travailing, according to Romans 8 chapter, waiting for the manifestation, the taking the lid off of the sons of God. Not a son of God, the sons of God. More than one. Because that's why when they saw Jesus in Revelations in the first chapter, and He spoke, He had the voice of many waters. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, when they saw Him back there, when He spoke, His voice was as a great multitude. And guess what? That's talking about all of us speaking and saying the same thing, being sealed in all of these areas, praising God in every situation, lifting Him up, knowing that we don't have to wrestle with flesh and blood, but we can casting down of imaginations and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. I know. I really shared this because these guys had asked me about it one time ago in Sunday school a few weeks ago. And I thought, well, you know what? There's nothing really new under the sun, in the sense that it's nothing old either. Because if it's new to you, it's new. If it's not, then that's okay. But these numbers that I shared with them today, and I gave some of them a copy of them, years ago I got a hold of a book that old brother in the church had, Brother Bill Britton had. And it was called The Significance of Numbers, you know. And this is like the front page of that, which gives you a synopsis of most of the numbers that are used in Scripture. And since then, I've ran across books where people nowadays have written them, and they match almost perfectly with what this is, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, When you learn the numbers of things and you begin to see the things, you know, like we were talking about the number three back there in Sunday school, and there's a lot of things about three. And one of the scriptures I didn't share with you back there is in Hosea. He said in the third day, he talks about following on to know the Lord. And His going forth will be like the morning. You can't stop the morning. It's going to come. You ever try to stop the morning? Work night shift? Daylight comes. You got them nice room darkening shades. You got them pulled down as tight as they can. And all of a sudden you look up and there's a big beam of light shining under the door, through the side of the room darkening shade or something. Can't keep the light out. Can't keep it out. And I tell you what, God said, let your light so shine that men would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise the Lord. And if you don't understand any of this, get the CD and listen to it again. If you don't understand it, just say, Lord, I don't understand it. And say, Lord, you gotta reveal it to me. And if you do understand it, you just move on into it. There you go. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your words, for they truly are spirit and life. I thank You, Father, that You're in the process of sealing us and all these things. A lot of people think this is just natural Jewish people. I got news for you. Scripture says He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but He is a Jew which is one inwardly, and His circumcision is of the heart. And Father, I just ask You, circumcise our hearts. And we give You all praise, all glory, and all honor for all that You're doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. If anybody wants